The Baltimore Sports Free For All. From first to second, first to third, second verse, same as the first. It's the Baltimore Orioles.
It is amazing how in a span of 2 weeks, we have seen a paradigm shift between the Baltimore Orioles, the Toronto Blue Jays, and now the Boston Red Sox, where the Orioles go from first place to second place, switching with the Blue Jays. Red Sox stay in third. Orioles get back into first. Blue Jays go back to second. Red Sox stay in third. Now the Red Sox come to Oriole Park at Camden Yards and sweep a two-game series against the Orioles, all in part thanks to Mookie Betts, again. And now the Baltimore Orioles find themselves in third place, still holding on to a second wild card by three games, but still, at the end of the day, Ray, are slowly slipping away from the AL East power paradigm.
I wouldn't say slipping away just yet. They're still in it. It's just you're looking at now, would you rather win a division and get a guaranteed playoff berth, or do you have to have your whole season hinge on a play-in game?
So what are you saying? They should be like, say, the Kansas City Royals circa 2014 and just play that extra playoff game to even get into the ALDS? I mean, is that your motive there?
I wouldn't say that. I think it's better to actually be a playoff contender, an actual playoff berth, instead of just playing into it, because that's just it's parody, and it adds a lot to baseball, and it makes it a little bit more exciting come playoff time. But I just cannot imagine hinging an entire 162-game season on game 163 and play into getting in there when all of your playoff series are best of seven, and now you have it to where you have one game and it's do or die. It's quite gut-wrenching if you lose that game, if you ask me.
And all of this slumping baltimore by the Baltimore Orioles started back, if we're going back a couple weeks here,
we're talking All-Star break here.
Yeah, we're talking a little bit after All-Star break, but not even a little bit after that. We're going back to, say, between August the 2nd to August the 7th, where the Orioles won back-to-back series, one home series against the Texas Rangers, and then a road series against the White Sox. And on Sunday, August the 7th, the Orioles were 16 games over 500. They were on pace to go in and elevate themselves into the American League playoff scenario. Well, flash forward a week and a couple days later, and the Orioles, since that Chicago White Sox series, if I'm counting it down here, 3-6 in their last nine games played. And by the way, two of those losses came at home. So that is a huge, huge difference there from that Chicago White Sox series. Now, going back to their Oakland series, and this is where it all started, the meltdown. They go into Oakland in a four-game series and playing against the lowly Oakland Athletics, or so we thought. And in the Monday, August 8th game, lost that game 3-2. Graveman was your winner, improving to 8-7. Gausman, the loser, at 3-9. Madsen collecting his 23rd save of the season. Tuesday, August the 9th, Orioles lose another one-run game, 2-1. Neal was your winner, improving to 2-1. Miley, the loser, at 7-10. Madsen collecting his 24th save of the season. Wednesday, August the 10th, Oakland winning another one-run game, this time 1-0. Detweiler was your winner, improving to 1-0. Gallardo, the loser, at 4-4. Axford collecting his second save of the season. And Thursday, August 11th, the Orioles finally get a win against the Oakland Athletics, 9-6. Tillman was your winner. Chris Tillman getting his 15th win of the season, improving to 15-4. Triggs, the loser, at 0-1. Zach Britton collecting his 35th save of the season. Let's just review the series real quick. You're the first-place Baltimore Orioles in the American League East. You have about maybe a game-and-a-half lead, two-game lead going into this Oakland series, and the Oakland Athletics are pretty sorry. I mean, you want to know how sorry they were? In June, Sonny Gray and Rich Hill were on their trading block. That's how bad they were. And they were their best starting pitchers. And you drop 3 out of 4 against them at the Oakland Coliseum. Was this just a case of a team not showing up or being ill-prepared? Or is this like a case of, the Baltimore Ravens playing down to their competition and making it making it unenjoyable for people watching at home.
What this reminds me of, and they don't have Jim Johnson on this team, but
I was going to get to that.
It reminds me of that one Diamondback series a few years ago, because that was the catalyst. That was ultimately the series that forced the Orioles to miss the playoffs that year. And it seemed like, because the Diamondbacks were not a very good team back then, and with the way Jim Johnson gave up all of those saves during that series, he single-handedly cost the Orioles a playoff berth that year. And you always point to that series. If the Orioles don't make the playoffs this year or happen to have to do that play-in game, you could point to this series going forward, because this is something that you should have been able to run away with, and you just have not. And do you blame it on the West Coast? Do you blame it on jet lag? Do you blame it on the entire team just shellacking themselves with just really bad averages overall? What do you call this team in general when they're slumping like this?
It's amazing you brought up the Arizona Diamondbacks, because in late September, the Orioles have a weekend series, a three-game weekend series against the Diamondbacks at home. And the Diamondbacks, Ray, are at this point in the season 20 games under 500. So maybe a reversal of fortunes for the Baltimore Orioles if they can make it this far and still contend. If they face a lowly Diamondbacks team and beat up on them in late September, maybe, just maybe, they can rectify those 2013 MLB demons that they had to overcome in 2014. Now,
but they have to overcome their 2016 demons right now.
That is very true. And going into San Francisco, where they just faced some steady pitching from their starters, Orioles went in the Friday, August 12th game, 5-2. Dylan Bundy was your winner, improving to 6-3. Matt Cain, the loser, at 4-7. Zach Britton getting his 36th save of the season. Saturday, August the 13th, Orioles losing 6-2. Madison Bumgarner was your winner, improving to 11-7. Kevin Gausman, the loser, at 3-10. Casilla collecting a 27th save of the season. Sunday, August the 14th, Orioles win in dramatic fashion, 8-7. Brad Brock was your winner, improving to 7-1. Casilla, the loser, at 2-4. Zach Britton collecting his 37th save of the season. And we'll be definitely talking about Brad Brock on this show later on. Flash forward to this week, Monday on August 15th, the Orioles enjoyed an off day. Tuesday, August the 16th, the Orioles lose a heartbreaker to the visiting Boston Red Sox, 5-3. Ziegler was your winner, improving to 1-3. Brock, the loser, at 7-2. Craig Kimbrell getting his 21st save of the season. And Wednesday, August 17th, the recording of this podcast, the Orioles lose a rain-shortened game to the Boston Red Sox, 8-1. David Price was your winner, improving to 11-8. Dylan Bundy, the loser, at 6-4. And for the remainder of the weekend, the Orioles will have a four-game series starting on Thursday, August the 18th, against the visiting Houston Astros. Then Monday, August 22nd to the 23rd, which will be on a Tuesday, they'll have a two-game series against the Washington Nationals. And then Wednesday, August 24th, Thursday, August 25th, a two-game road series against the Washington Nationals. So on and so forth the season goes. And it is amazing how much two games makes a difference in the standings, especially when you have teams that are so close, like the Red Sox are, like the Orioles are, like the Toronto Blue Jays are. But just like any of those three teams, each of them has a weakness. Going into, if I'm counting down the record here, 129 games here, Ray Atkinson, or 119 games, I should say, what would you say is the biggest weakness going for the Baltimore Orioles right now?
Consistency. Because you get good pitching, the hitting sucks. You get good hitting, the pitching sucks. That's always been the Jekyll and Hyde. It always fascinated me about the game of baseball is how one facet of the team can click and the other facet does not. It's just one influences the other. Could you be able to think about that? Is it when the bats come alive, does pitching take a little bit of a break? Or if the pitching comes alive, does the batting take a little bit of a break here? Because they're thinking to themselves, okay, well, we've got a lead. We can coast a little bit here. Oh, wow, we're getting demolished here. What is happening? What's going on? And I just find it just fascinating in the sport of baseball when you see the inconsistency of this team and everything else that's been happening. And everyone wants to point to starting pitching as well. I do believe that starting pitching is a weakness for the Baltimore Orioles, but you have guys like Dylan Bundy now who were not on the initial 25-man roster at the beginning of the season are now, you know, coming up and seeing what we can get out of those guys. But the playoff experience comes to comes to mind here. But there is a switch, Josh, that could be flicked on these guys that all of a sudden could have them turn it on come October.
And what is amazing to me about the Baltimore Orioles offense, and I stress the word offense because it seems that it has been lacking as of late, is you have guys like Chris Davis, Mark Trumbo, Manny Machado, Adam Jones, Jonathan Scope, guys who are capable of hitting 25 home runs and beyond. And these guys, as a collective, haven't really been collecting the power hitting as of late. I mean, you can look at the batting averages of Chris Davis and Mark Trumbo and look at the team's record, and you can just, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to look at this and say their averages and their inconsistencies are killing this ball club right now. I mean, we were talking about the meat and potatoes of the Rio Olympics and women's gymnastics on one of our episodes this past week. And you have to bring up the meat and potatoes of the Baltimore Orioles. And when I think of that, I think of Adam Jones, Manny Machado, Chris Davis, Mark Trumbo. Those four right there. And if those four aren't producing every game, or at least two out of those four aren't producing every game, your chances of winning are minuscule at best.
And if you're playing against Mookie Betts, your chances of winning are nothing if you're the Baltimore Orioles.
Especially if you throw fastballs right down the middle. Now let's look at the weekend review in terms of the best and worst offensively and in pitching. Best hitter of the week so far in terms of batting average was, surprisingly, and I don't think I've said this maybe twice this year, Matt Wieters, going 8 for 18 in 6 games, having 4 runs scored, 2 doubles, 1 triple, 3 RBIs, and batting .444.
You've said it before. I've heard it.
A long time ago. It's been a while. It's been a little bit past the All-Star break since the last time we said it. Caleb Joseph, 1 for 3, .333. I'm looking here. Steve Pierce, .286, so he's doing his job as a left-handed bat. Manny Machado, 7 for 25, 4 runs scored in 6 games, 2 doubles, and batting .280. Chris Davis, 2 home runs, 2 RBIs, batting .278 and scoring 6 runs. So, hey, there you go. Some much-needed Chris Davis production in late August when we needed from Mr. Number 19 there. Adam Jones hitting .250, 1 home run, 5 RBIs. In terms of home runs and RBIs, you could say your best offensive player was Mark Trumbo, who had 3 home runs, 8 RBIs. However, still batting below the Mendoza line, hitting .182.
And it's skewed a little bit because he did have a grand slam this past week.
That is very true, too. And also, speaking of 3-run homers, Jonathan Scope had a pivotal 3-run homer against the Giants on Sunday, still batting .217. But again, even though the home runs and RBIs are impressive for some of these guys, you can tell by the production of the team, their batting averages are so low that they need to pick up right away. So there is that, and that is done. Moving on to the pitching side of the Baltimore Orioles, I guess you could say your pitcher of the week once again, for how many weeks we've said it, Zach Britton. In 3 games played, he's had 3 scoreless innings, 3 strikeouts, 2 walks, 3 hits allowed, and collecting 3 saves out of 3 save opportunities. I might have said this in May, and it's funny we're doing some recollection this late in the season since I don't know how many episodes we have left before the end of the 2016 MLB season. Is it safe to say Zach Britton right now is the best closer in Major League Baseball?
I would say so.
I mean, you look at the records, the scoreless inning records that he's surpassed, and not to mention that sinker ball he throws is probably one of the most deadliest pitches anybody could throw. And it's amazing when people say that, oh, he doesn't really throw strikes. I mean, that sinker ball doesn't even make it to the, you know, the middle of the plate. I'm like, that's the idea of an out pitch, is people follow it and they strike out on it. Anyway, one guy we got to look at, and a guy who's just been having a horrendous week since the All-Star break, is one Brad Brock. And that's a guy who made the All-Star team as a reliever. In 3 games played, he had 2 innings pitched, gave up 4 hits, 3 earned runs, and had a home run, and his ERA 13.5. Is Brad Brock, I don't know how to word this.
He's got an All-Star hangover.
That's what I was going to say.
He let the All-Star break get a little bit of ahead of himself, and he's saying to him, hey, I could be a really elite closer. Now, all of a sudden, I'm faltering. What's going on here?
But do you think with Brad Brock, though, that this is something that's going to carry over through the remainder of this season, much like, say, Jim Johnson in 2013 when he carried that into the Diamondbacks series and that just totally destroyed the Orioles' chances? Or can Brad Brock and the bullpen turn the corner and make the Orioles relevant again?
Like I said, all it takes is October, the switch to go off.